Chapter 10, Hosea. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their hearts is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Plain and simple, God was angry with his people. If he blessed them, like he said here, and allowed the spreading vine, that produced what? More fruit. Whether it was olives or whether it was the grapes or stuff for the wine, whatever. He said, as his fruit increased, he built more altars. Kind of reminds me in the New Testament of the story there of the man that had the good harvest. And his barns were filled and overflowing. And he tore them down, built bigger, you know, and jacked it all up and things. It's kind of what I see these doing. And as his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their hearts is deceitful. And now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars, destroy their sacred stones. And just something about prosperity, you know. Folks get to do it a little better, they've got to have a little better, you know. A little better house, a little better automobile, a little better whatever it is that we enjoy doing in our hearts and our lives. But the sad part is that they were lavishing more love on these idols and stuff. What is an idol? We talk about that all the time. I tell you over and over again. Anything you put between you and God, that's right. Wind up worshiping it instead of the Lord. Verse 3 says, then they will say, we have no king, because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? They made many promises. Take false oaths and make agreements. Therefore, lawsuits sprung up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. What's going on in our nation today? What's the thriving industry today? Can't turn the TV on now without seeing their ads and stuff. Lawyers and lawyers and lawyers, ain't they? Yep. Got all kinds of, he said here, they'd become so corrupt, so evil, so dishonest with one another. Lawsuits abound. And he said they made many promises, took a lot of false oaths, and made many arrangements. Therefore, lawsuits sprung up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth Aven. And Beth Aven just means house of wickedness. And the sad part of it is that it's referring here to Bethel. Bethel, you know, when they came out of bondage and all, that was a city, a house of God. And God told them, return to Bethel. Go back to your roots and hearts and our lives. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priest. Those who had rejoiced over its splendor, because it is taken from them into exile. And this cave idol and all the other stuff that they took back and to Babylonians, and now the Assyrians and stepping up, it said it'll be carried to Assyria as a tribute for their king. Look what we got. Look what we found. Look what we brought you, O king of Assyria. Ephraim, or Israel, will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its wooden idols. Samaria and its kings will float away like a twig on the surface of the waters. The high priest of wickedness will be destroyed. It is the sin of Israel. They were in a dog-eat-dog world. Thorns and thistles, he said, will grow up. Well, somebody help me, but what's happening in our world around about us every day? Trying to close up, not let it tie up. Pulling out guns and shooting and killing and carrying on. And, you know, sons killing fathers and on and on and on, just drive-by shooting, you know, and shoot up people's stuff and things. Just, it's amazing what's happening in the world around about us. What's even more amazing to me is how the left over here can sit back and applaud that and say that that's the right thing to do, you know? That just don't make sense to me. And we're working today without a government, you know, because any disagreements that don't mount to a hill of beans, you know, we're going to show you. No, we'll show you. And, you know, and but we've got a president that's got a backbone, and I believe he's going to stand his ground, you know. He hadn't buckled to him so far. He said, then they will say to the mountains, cover us, and to hills, fall on us. I'm a time and a place, and that's not too far off, I don't think, before the Lord's going to come back and rapture us out of here and deal with his long-lost world out there that refused to believe him. Since the days of Gibeah, you have sinned, O Israel. There you have remained. Days of Gibeah. And Gibeah stands for cruelty and sensuality and rebellion, like they did in the days of Saul and his carrying out things. And then he turns to the means of a farmer, something you and I can all relate to in our hearts and our lives. He said, did not war overtake the evildoers of Gibeah. Yep, they went down to the enemy. When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds for their double sin, turning their back on God and doing the things that they're doing in their hearts and their lives. He said, Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. That heifer was hooked to that threshing mill that went around and around and around to grind out the grain and the chaff to blow away and things to happen. And a trained heifer. Can you imagine trying to train one when they yoke up on them and getting them to go around and around and around and around? They love to thresh. So I'll put a yoke on their Phinehas. I'll drive Ephraim. Judah must plow. Jacob must break up the ground. Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Break up the unplowed ground. What are we supposed to be doing? About our Father's business, isn't it? What's his business? Seeking to save those which are lost, isn't it? Sometimes that takes us into unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. Because you have depended on your own strength and on your own many warriors. Got to thinking they could handle it all by themselves, didn't they? The roar of battle will rise against your people, so that all of your fortresses will be devastated. As Shalman devastated Beth Ardale on the day of battle, when mothers were dashed to the ground with their children. Thus will it happen to you, O Bethel, because your wickedness is great. When that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. The very people that he created through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, right on down the bloodline comes and stuff, did what? Turned their back on him, didn't he? He used and abused, and everything he blessed them with, they used it to their advantage and do their will. But you know, there he is, Hosea, telling us the wrath of God and what he's going to do to them. And then the God that we serve turns right around in chapter 11 and expresses his love for Israel. Listen what he says. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Talking about the nation of Israel. Very young age. He said, out of Egypt, I called my son. He brought them out of Egypt. And but he said, but the more I called on Israel, the further they went from me. Sound like anybody you know? All across this great land of ours, what's happening? They sacrificed to the Baals, all these different idols and stuff. They burned incense to images. What was the purpose of incense? Why was that so precious to God? Incense, the smoke, the aroma off of it, was supposed to be a cleansing aroma that goes up to God, that brings mine and your messages before him. And he said, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. Told him Ephraim's just another name for Israel. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. In spite of all that they'd done against him and misused him in so many different ways, he was still, they were his children. Kind of like parents today with a disobedient child, you know. They do everything in their power to get them to do right. What happens? They disappoint, don't they? And he said here, Israel done that to me. They had a lot of kings that acted in a lot of different ways. But God always loved Israel, just like parents always love their children, regardless of how much they misbehave and disappoint us in our hearts and our lives concerning these things. So verse 5 says, will they not return to Egypt? And will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Going to have to go back into bondage. Swords will flash in their cities. I just have to put out there beside that, I'd remove the word sword and put guns. Guns will flash in their cities. Destroy the bars of their gates. Put an end to their plans. You know, nobody's expecting somebody to come in and just cold-blooded murder, just shoot them for no reason at all, you know. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call me to the Most High, He will by no means exalt them. And this northern kingdom, short-lived. It was 10 tribes that made up the northern kingdom, about 200 years. You know, what's America on? A lot more than that, ain't it? God's been what? Very patient with us, hasn't he? But I'm just like so many of you. I don't see how in the world he tarried much longer than what he's doing for us. He said, my people are determined to turn from me. And even if they call to the Most High, He will by no means exalt them. And not going to listen to them, not going to put up with it in their hearts and their lives. That He carries them back in time and reminds them of some things. Listen to what He said in verse 8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? That's the northern and the southern kingdom back. He said, how can I treat you like Adma? Adma was one of the cities when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, one of the outlying cities around there. How can I make you like Zebulun? Another one of those. God rang down hellfire and brimstone, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities round about. He said, how can I treat you like Adam? How can I make you like Zebulun? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. He said, my heart is changed within me. All that God intended to do with him, he's willing to change his mind. If they'll do what? Just come back. Be what that covenant was way back there with Abraham and them in the early days. What did it say? If they would be unto him a son, he'd be unto them a God. Made that. He said, I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. But he has a lot more to say there than that he's not going to destroy Ephraim. Listen to what this next thing says. For I am God, not man. the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath or anger. He said, I am God and not man. It's easy for us to define God in terms of our own expectations and our own behavior and stuff and what we think is all right in God's sight and stuff. But really and truly, when you come down to it, I don't think we can put a picture of just how great God really is. You know, we hold him back to be a real small God. But when you look at this world that we're a part of, what does that tell you? How did it get here? What happened? The scripture says that in the beginning the earth was without form and void. I mean, it was just nothing. It is. And from that, God began to speak into being the very things that the land, the seas, the sun, the moon, the stars, the whole shooting match, everything, you know. Then he made man. And we don't know how long they were in the garden together before God discovered that when I leave, he's alone. I made him so when I come, I'd have somebody to share this beautiful garden with. So him and Adam had a good relationship. But God made a woman, serpent, deceived them. They ate the forbidden fruit. And sin entered into the world. Right? And just like God knew probably that it would in their hearts and their lives. So if he can speak into being this whole world, I can't improve on any of it, you know. Him and I last night, she Googles everything, you know, and she got this little 5-minute movie of having a leaking valve and what it does and how it does and all. But I just watching all the different parts of the heart and how it all works in unison with one another, and it doesn't, just amazes me that you hear of someone having a heart attack, you know. You can see why with all those little things. But what I can't understand is how man can figure out how to go through a vein in your leg and go up through there and put that thing, get the other one out and get that one in, and just when to turn it loose and it'll inflate and do and all. We've got pretty smart, haven't we? Medicine has kept a world alive, but it would have been in our growing up days, 50 or 60 years old, would have been an old person, you know. And now we live to be 80s and 90s and 100s and stuff. God is a good God. He takes care of. He said, I'll not come in my wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. And one of these days, he's going to give that shout. And people's going to come from all points. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. And he will have the final say concerning that. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit. He said, and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. They'd all turn their backs. But you know, my little footnote said this: unlike Israel, Judah had some pretty good kings. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Amaziah, Azariah, Uriah, Jotham, Hezekiah, Josiah. We studied about all those kings, didn't we? All through there. But we also studied about some that evil, wasn't it? And one in particular, I can't remember his name. But he, Scripture said he was more wicked than all the others. You know. And how so? Any thought, any comment, anything you want to share? Old Hosea, just an average Jewish male God used for a prophet. Sound his warnings, share his thoughts. What about us? What are we supposed to be? That's right. Will any good thing come out of Bexley? What did he ask about Jesus? Any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yeah. A whole lot of good come out of there, didn't it? Heart and their life. We just got to keep the faith. Anything you want to share? Any other thought? Brian, you dismiss us, brother.